participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@crescentvalley2.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Crescent Valley Public Charter School 2, regular board meeting, operated by Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Thursday, June 4th, 2026, to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Ruth Newell?
Here.
Marvin Smith?
Here.
Dana Clark?
Here.
James Locke?
Here.
They're all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. Learning Center's roll call, please.
Thank you, Board President. This is Jillian Rojas from the Charter Affairs team to notify you that the site is closed for repairs and the public has been alerted that the board meeting, that they can attend the board meeting at an alternate location or by joining the web link listed on the agenda. Thank you. This concludes the Learning Center's roll call.
Thank you, Jillian. And I'll ask Ruth to please lead us in the pledge.
Catherine, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very much. Staff introductions. Oh, mighty thin here today.
Mm-hmm. Shelly's on.
Shelly, are you there?
Oh, I was waiting for Jeff or Jerry.
Jeff and Jerry are not here.
Gotcha. This is Shelly Haynes, school superintendent. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Gagandeep Gill, area superintendent.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Darren Bauer, Stilo.
Thank you.
Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Claudia Wallace, VP of Finance with the LAC.
Thank you.
And good afternoon, Rafi Wagler, Regional Director, State and Federal Programs.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Sarah Luna, Regional Director of Data Assessment and Accountability.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to item E. May have a motion to approve the agenda for the June 4th, 2026 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Second.
That's the motion by James Locke, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with five yes votes. Item F. I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the April 21st, 2026 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
So moved.
Second.
That's a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Myra Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes with five yes votes. Item two, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. There are five items on the consent agenda. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the student smartphones and other private devices policy. Number two, the board will be asked to accept the uniform complaints report for the 2025-2026 school year. Zero complaints received. Number three, the board will be asked to approve the revised suspension and expulsion policy and procedures. Number four, the board will be asked to approve revisions to the 2026-2027 parent-student handbook regarding involuntary removal procedures. And number five, the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. Does any board member want to pull any consent agenda item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 5.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. Time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Good afternoon, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak today.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, finance update. Fabio.
Thank you, Ward. Today, I have an update to the line of credit that shows the status of the line with Hamney Bank and with LLAC. The report of Hamney line is updated through May 15th and includes the line approved for $1 million and a current rate of the line at 7.25%. This rate is the same as the one in the previous update, as there have not been changes to the federal fund rate or prime rates. The update shows no balance on the line. It includes the expiration date of the line of June 3, 2027. It also shows the covenant ratios in the bottom area of the Hamney section. These are required to keep the line in good standing and in compliance with the line of credit agreement. And the summary shows that the school meets all line requirements. The second portion of the update shows the status of the line with LLAC approved as a promissory note for $500,000 with the current rate at 6% for this fiscal year. The school currently has no loan balance. With respect to the state budget, I will address the latest updates to the May revision later today in the meeting when reviewing the school budget. And that concludes the update.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Going on to item B, area superintendent update, Dr. DDO.
Thank you. I would like to present the LP 10 data report. The student enrollment is at 1,034. Overall credit completion stands at 3.14, and core credit completion is at 1.68. ADA utilization is at 90%. The one-year DAS rate is increasing each LP. Currently, the DAS one-year cohort grad rate is 76% and is on track to reach a 90% by August 15th. Thank you, and this concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, report on mathematics placement results. Sarah Luna.
Yes, good afternoon. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. A policy was adopted with the creation of our charter, and minor revisions were approved to the policy in 2020. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including the following. Considers multiple objective academic measures, includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year, requires an annual examination of pupil placement data, requires an annual report be provided to the governing board, offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parent or legal guardian who questions the student's placement, and requires the policy to be posted on each school's website. Based on years of student math assessment data and teacher observations, math continues to be a challenge for many of our students. To meet this challenge, our dedicated math teachers and tutors share best practices and participate in ongoing professional development opportunities in order to hone their skills and continue to provide support to students with their math skills and courses. For the 25-26 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 3% of ninth grade math students placed in remedial math courses. 97% of ninth grade math students placed in Algebra 1, which is grade level. And 0% of ninth grade math students placed in Geometry or Algebra 2 above grade level. Despite the challenges many of our students have with math, we are pleased to report this year that all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics courses, and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. This does conclude my report, and I can take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, the LCFF Local Indicators Report. Rafael Aguilar.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be present today.
I am pleased to share Crescent Valley Public's local indicator report and highlight the progress our school has made this year. I'd like to direct your attention to the center of the slide, which displays the California dashboard metrics. On the left side are the six state indicators that were presented at a previous meeting. These indicators include academic performance data in English language arts and mathematics, along with other state reported measures. The data is populated or pre-populated by the state and is used to evaluate progress towards a local control and accountability plan. Performance levels are color-coded as blue, green, yellow, orange, and red, with blue representing the highest level of performance and red representing the lowest. Today, I will be reporting on the five local indicators shown on the right side of the slide. Unlike the state indicators, local indicators are completed by the school and include an analysis of progress based on the local data and self-assessment. These indicators incorporate both quantitative and qualitative evidence to measure our progress. The three performance categories for local indicators are met, not met, and not met for two or more years. Next slide, please. I am pleased to report on the results of the five local indicators. For priority number one, basic services was met. Priority number two, state standards implementation was met. Priority number three, parent and family engagement was also met. Priority number six, school climate was met. In addition to priority number seven, course access was also met. These results demonstrate that our school is successfully meeting the expectations established for each local indicator and is making meaningful progress towards improving student outcomes. This concludes my report. I will be happy to answer any questions if you have any. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. The board will be advised of additional efforts by Lifelong Learning Administrative Corporation to assist the school in advancing the goals of independent study. Darren Bauer.
Thank you, President Adams. Just wanted to provide the board with an update that we have asked for additional services from our service provider, Lifelong Learning, as it relates to legislative activity and advocacy for independent study. We have enjoyed great support as far as those efforts for years, but in the coming months, with the change in policy, we wanted to elevate that level of service. So we've asked them to add additional resources and a number of new activities. So they're working on a plan, and I'll be able to share more about that at future meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Item F, annual IRS Form 990, return of organization exempt from income tax and the California return for 2024 as filed.
Audio. Thank you, board. Today we are informing the board that the school's annual IRS Form 990 was filed by the required deadline. The filed Form 990 has also been made available to board members for their review before submission to the IRS. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Item G is the 2026-2027 board meeting dates. That is in page 280 of your board packet. And it shows Tuesday, September 1st at 5 p.m., Thursday, October 15th at 5 p.m., Tuesday, December 8th at 5 p.m., Tuesday, February 16th at 12, Tuesday, March 2nd at 5, Tuesday, April 20th at 5, and Thursday, June 3rd at 4 p.m. So please note those dates and times. Now go to item 5, public hearings. We will now open the public hearing. Can I get a motion and a second? We'll open the public hearing.
Second.
That was a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Public hearing number one. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. The public hearing is now open at 4:12. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon a majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from the area superintendent, Gagandeep Gill.
Thank you. The purpose of the public hearing is to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning plan. A red line copy of the revised policy has been provided in your board packets and reflects updates to align with current school operations, including clarifications related to student progress, re-engagement supports, and involuntary removal procedures. The proposed revisions are intended to strengthen consistency across our independent study program by clearly defining expectations for student engagement, attendance, and academic progress, while also outlining a structured system of supports for students who may be struggling. The updated policy also clarifies procedures to ensure fair and compliant processes, including due process protections for students and families when changes in placement may be necessary. The effective date of the revised policy is July 1st, 2026, which allows time for staff training and implementation. That concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Okay, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the revised personalized learning policy. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Good afternoon, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team. I'm here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment today.
Thank you. We will now move on to the second item within this public hearing. The board will hold the public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the Budget Overview for Parents, BOP, and the Local Control and Accountability Plan, LCAP, for the 2026-2027 school year. The board will first hear a presentation from Gagandeep Gill.
Thank you. The Budget Overview for Parents outlines how Crescent Valley Public Charter will allocate the funds to support all students, particularly those with high needs, low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. On page 295, the total projected revenue is $21.3 million, $17.7 million from the local control funding formula, $4.9 million generated based on enrollment of high-need students, which are foster youth, English learners, and low-income students, $3.4 million from state funds, and the remaining $150,870 is from federal funds. On page 296 is the total budgeted expenditures, which is $19.4 million. $15.8 million is allocated to actions and services in the LCAP. $3.5 million covers non-LCAP expenses such as audit, legal fees, short-term grants. Some of the spending areas include salaries and benefits, student interventions, curriculum, and professional development, materials, hardware, and software. All planned initiatives are already underway. The 2026-2027 LCAP goals are found on page 297. The four goals are, the first one is to increase academic progress, to focus on improving outcomes for English learners, LTELs, low income, and foster youth. The second goal is college and career readiness, is to equip all students, especially high need students, with future ready skills. Third goal is to increase student retention, maintain efforts to keep students engaged and on track to graduate. Fourth goal is to increase educational partner engagement, continue promoting meaningful parent and partner involvement. On page 298, increased or improved services for high-need students in the LCAP for the 2025-2026 school year. This page shares an overview of each goal. In 2025-2026, Crescent Valley Public Charter planned $4.5 million for high-need students and spent $4.8 million. The difference between the budgeted and actual expenditure was $227,547, which allowed Crescent Valley Public Charter's ability to increase or improve services for high-need students. Students receive support in critical areas of social, emotional, and academic needs through student-centered intervention, such as counseling and tutoring. LCAP goals were developed in collaboration with staff, students, parents, and educational partners. The full LCAP follows this overview for your detailed review. Thank you. And this concludes my update.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the Budget Overview for Parents, BOP, and the Local Control and Accountability Plan, LCAP, for the 2026-2027 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Hello there, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team, here to report there were no written comments today. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Hearing none, we'll now move to close this public hearing. Can I get a motion and a second to close the public hearing?
So
moved. There's a motion by Dana Clark, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Public hearing is now closed at 4:18. Action item 6A, the board will be asked to approve the revised personalized learning policy. Dr. Gill.
Thank you. Unless there are any questions from the board, I recommend the board approve the revised personalized learning policy as presented during today's public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6A.
So moved.
That was a motion by Ruth Newell, second by James Lott. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the 2026-2027 Budget Overview for Parents, BOP, and the Local Control and Accountability Plan, the LCAP, for the 2026-2027 school year. Goggin Deep Gill.
Thank you. If there are no questions at this time, the board is asked to approve the 2026-2027 Budget Overview for Parents and Local Control Accountability Plan for the 2026-2027 school year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 6B.
Second.
Motion by Marva Smith, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item C. Board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Michael Adams, Ruth Newell, Marvin Smith, Dana Clark, and James Lott have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, sole member of Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated, for the term July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. Bill Thompson.
Well, thank you. Once again, annually, it's my privilege to express the gratitude of our officers and the staff of the school for the governance and the guidance and direction that the board has given them, the important role that you play in overseeing the good things that are happening at Crescent Valley too, and requesting that all of you would decide to go ahead and do this for a whole nother year because it's been so fun. I'm sure you want to. But we genuinely would appreciate that. So if you want to take a vote to that effect, Board President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Now I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6C.
So moved.
That was a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Okay.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item D. The board will be asked to reappoint the corporate officers to serve at the pleasure of the board, and that's Jeff Brown, Corporate Chief Executive Officer, and Jerry Vincent, Corporate Chief Financial Officer and Secretary. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 6D.
Second.
That was a motion by Marvin Smith, seconded by James Lott. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item E, the board will be asked to approve the Proposition 28, Arts and Music in Schools Funding Annual Report for the fiscal year 25-26, Rafael Aguilar.
Yes, good afternoon again. As part of the annual reporting requirement, I am providing an update on how Proposition 28 funds were used to support arts and music education during the current school year. The funds were primarily used to support a teacher who provided arts and music opportunities to our students. The school remains committed to enhancing its arts program by expanding instructional opportunities and enriching student learning experiences in visual arts, painting, and art crafts. The funds will also be used to support instruction, technology access, and curriculum updates. The board is asked to approve the Art and Music in Schools funding report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Now may I hear a motion to approve action item 6E. There's a motion by Dana Clark, seconded by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. Gagandeep Gill.
Thank you, President Adams. The incentives are discretionary and will be determined based on the current budget and overall financial health of the school. Thank you. This concludes my update.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Motion to approve action item 6F.
So moved.
That was a motion by Ruth Moulin, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item G. Board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers and senior administration to make all reasonable and necessary business arrangements and enter into all reasonable and necessary transactions, including but not limited to contracts with vendors, employees, consultants, and others. Does the board have any questions or comments on this item? I hear a motion to approve action item 6G.
So moved. Second.
That was a motion by James Law, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item H, the board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 26-27, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school, audio.
Thank you, Ward. The local control funding formula is the primary source of funding for charter schools. This funding has two primary components: a base rate that applies to all schools and depends entirely on ADA by grade span, and a supplemental and concentration component that depends on the percentage of the school's English learners, foster youth, and low-income students. The LCFF funding is the largest source of revenue and is essential to the budget and LCAP development. For year 26-27, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total revenue of $17,772,051. This total includes a base funding of $12,829,675, or 72% of total LCFF funding, and a supplemental and concentration funding of $4,942,376, or 28% of total LCFF funding. We would like to request approval of the LCFF formula. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 6H.
So moved.
Second.
That was a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item I, the board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, EPA, spending determinations. Claudio.
Thank you, Ward. The Education Protection Account funding is a component of the school total LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget report on the LCFF sources section, object code 8012, the current year 25-26, the school will receive on this year EPA revenue of $191,928, and for fiscal year 26-27, the estimated EPA revenue is $193,000. This funding must be used only for instruction and be posted on the school website every year. We would like to request approval of the EPA spending determinations.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 6I. Mm-hmm. Motion by Dana Clark, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Mm-hmm.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item J, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2026-2027 fiscal year. Audio.
Thank you, Board. The school budget is based on funding information from the May revision to the state budget released on May 14th. The May revision is materially stronger than the January government's budget, but it should be read as cautiously positive. Updated revenue estimates, driven mainly by income tax gains tied to the AI stock market boom, increases the Proposition 88 guarantee by another $6.4 billion above January estimates, allowing the states to fund more education priorities. For schools, the strongest funding increase comes from a 2.87% 1.5% statutory COLA plus a proposed 1.44% LCFF super COLA, with a total of 4.31% for LCFF base, supplemental and concentration grants. The main revision also increases the one-time discretionary block grant from $2.8 billion to $5 billion. It buys out the planned June 2026 principal apportionment deferral and also proposes a major special education funding increase with a base rate of $1,340 per ADA. However, funding remains volatile and one-time revenues should not support ongoing costs. Now let's review the budget report. We begin with Form A located on the final page of the report that shows average daily attendance of 959 for current year. The projection for upcoming year is 965, showing a small increase of 6 ADA that will have a small but positive effect on some funding sources for next year. If we move next now to the revenue and expenditure section. Thank you. Total revenue budgeted for next year is $21.3 million. This shows an increase of 8.4% compared to current year and is due to multiple factors. Revenue from LCFF sources is projected to have an increase of 5.1% from $16.9 million this year to $17.7 million next year. This is primarily due to the super COLA of 4.31% in LCFF funding rate, the increase in ADA, and a small increase in unduplicated pupil percentage that impacts the supplemental and concentration components of this funding source. Federal funding is budgeted at $150,000, showing a decrease of 1.1% compared to current year. This funding comes entirely from federal special ed entitlement. Other state revenue in the budget shows an increase of 35.6% compared to current year from $2.5 million to $3.4 million, driven by the increase in state special ed funding rate and in student support and professional development block grant funding. This funding source also includes increases in mental health, mandate block grant, and lottery funding due to increasing funding rates. Lastly, the school is not projecting local revenue at this moment, so there is a visible reduction from current year's revenue levels. On the expense side, the school is budgeting total expenditures of $19.4 million, showing a 6.2% increase from current year's spending. The budget includes an increase of $584,000 or 5% in salaries and benefits. This increase is driven by spending increase in teachers, classified support salaries, and health benefit cost. Purchase spending is budgeted at $1 million, showing an increase of 3.7% compared to current year spending. This includes moderate budget increases in school supplies and student equipment. Budget for operating expenses is almost $6.1 million, showing an increase of 8.6% compared to current year. This increase is driven by higher spending on professional services, training, and facilities. Budget for depreciation is $43,000, showing an increase of $15,000 compared to current year due to capital expenditures on expansion project at Visalia site and flooring refresh that will be subject to depreciation. Budget for other outgo is $179,000 and includes a small increase in projected oversight cost and the same level of debt service cost compared to current year. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $1.9 million for fiscal year 26-27. With this excess revenue, the current year-end projected net position of $8.6 million, the school will end up year 26-27 with a projected net position of $10.5 million. Of this total ending net position, $183,000 is in capital assets, and the remaining $8.3 million is unrestricted, which is equal to 53% of total budgeted annual expenditures. And that concludes the report. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions or comments from the board? May I hear a motion to approve action item 6J?
Second.
That was a motion by James Moss, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item K. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2026-2027 school year. Rafael Aguilar.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon again. The California Department of Education uses the Consolidated Application, or CONAP, to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local agency, using the Consolidated Application and Reporting System, submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in certain categorical programs and provides assurance that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the program. The board is asked to approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the school year 26-27 school year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 6K.
Second.
That's a motion by Danny Clark, second by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item L. The board will be requested to renew the revolving line of credit, RLOC, Economy Bank, for the 2026-2027 school year as necessary to ensure sufficient cash flow in accordance with the RLOC terms and applicable interest rates. Audio.
Thank you, board. In previous years, the school has secured financing through Hamney Bank that has consistently provided a credit facility at a competitive rate. This request receives annual board approval, and for upcoming year 26-27, the school is seeking approval for a $1 million standard line of credit from Hamney Bank. The interest rate will be determined as the higher of either a fixed 3.75% or the prime rate plus 0.5%. At present, the applicable rate is 7.25% based on the current prime rate of 6.75% plus the 0.5% margin. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Why do we want an increase on the line of credit? I think it was previously half of $500,000, now we want $1 million.
It was $1 million. It's $500,000 is the amount that it will be requested for loans with LLAC.
This is our
loan.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
This is Bank.
Sorry.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. May I hear a motion to approve action item 6L?
Second.
The motion by Marvin Smith, second by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item M. The board will be requested to approve securing a loan from Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, LLIC, for the 26-27 school year as necessary to ensure sufficient cash flow in accordance with the promissory note terms and applicable interest rates. That's Claudio.
Thank you, board. This is another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It is a low-interest alternative that allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are more expensive or not sufficient, and helps the school keep financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between the school and LLAC will be the borrowing limit during this fiscal, the fiscal year. For fiscal year 26-27, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $500,000 from LLAC if needed. The interest rate is 6%, and the note includes the lender's option to adjust the rate once during the fiscal year if the market rate changes substantially, whether upward or downward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? May I hear a motion to approve action item 6M?
So moved. Second.
As a motion by Ruth Newell, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item N. The board will be asked to approve the signers for all bank accounts and that's to reconfirm the school assigners of Jeff Brown, Jerry Vincent, Shelly Haynes, and Jeff Martineau. Does the board have any questions or comments? If not, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6N?
Second.
There's a motion by Marvin Smith, second by James Law. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Shelly Haynes.
Good afternoon, board. I wanted to share a couple of notes from today. I usually like to go after Jeff or Jerry and say ditto, but since they're not here to say ditto, I wanted to share that today I attended the Crescent Valley Public graduation, which I also had a nephew graduate from. So you may be getting some pictures in your email of my nephew and I, some selfies. But Gil, Christian Purcell, Jenny Boone, and the entire CVPC staff did just a phenomenal job of putting on a beautiful ceremony. Parents and kids were so excited. So that was super cool. I also wanted to share that Christiana shared and honored Linda Seamy with the Linda Seamy Scholarship and awarded 3 students a scholarship today, and just had some really nice words to say about Linda. So that, Christiana, I can't see your face on the screen anymore, but great job doing that. And then just to thank the board for diving in for another year with us. We appreciate all of you. And then also to Mr. Adams, just thanks for your efficiency in leading the board meetings all year, especially in these June meetings when we have, I don't know how many items are on and how big that packet is, but just thanks for that. So appreciation to all. Thank you.
Thank you. Doug and Deep Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. I just want to echo what Shelly was saying. The graduation ceremony was really nice. They did a really good job. We had about 130 students who participated in the ceremony, so it's exciting just to see the students show off their hard work, and Christiana and her team did an amazing job with the entire ceremony. And I just want to thank you all for your support.
Thank you. Darren Bowen.
Well, I would say if Jeff and Jerry were here, they would share their appreciation for your service and support and confidence in them, and also their appreciation for the team. Sorry I missed the graduation, but just congratulations. And that's it.
Thank you. Bill Thompson.
And just one thing, I think on behalf of the board now, we do appreciate, and you've expressed that before, all the good people that put these meetings together over the last year, and we'll continue to do so over the next year. And it does make everyone's job just a lot easier and better because they're so organized. And so Deanna and her team and Esma and those all the folks that work with them, I just wanted to mention that to the board as well. I know you know that.
Thank you. Does any board member have any observations or comments at this point?
Yes, one. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, good. Ditto. Item 8, closed session. Legal counsel has advised there's no need for closed session tonight. So go to item 9, closing items. Next regular board meeting date is September 1st at 5 p.m. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Second.
That was a motion by Dana Clark, second by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned. Good meeting, everyone.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.